Isaiah 43. Often when the new year approaches and the old year passes away, we have a tendency to look back. And with that, typically there's lots of memories for the past year. There's good memories and there's typically sad memories, but frequently we take time to look back. And having the opportunity to preach to you this kind of early in the year, it's been my desire to bring a message of encouragement as we begin a new year. And looking for a text, I listened to several of God's messengers on the subject. Sought wisdom from a lot of the old writers. Messages on the beginning of a new year. And with that, I can tell you, I heard several good messages. I'm thankful for sermon audio that we can kind of go back and listen to some of those old messages. But oddly enough, it wasn't until the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 43 that I believe I have a text. Look at verse 18 and 19 of Isaiah 43. And here we read, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." My title is this: Don't Look Back. Don't look back. Now it's important to know the context of this passage of Scripture. Earlier, Isaiah had just referred to the bringing of Israel out of Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. You all remember that account where Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the Red Sea, and the children of Israel were delivered. And these are certainly things worth being remembered with a thankful heart. What a sight! What a sight that must have been for the children of Israel. Can you imagine that? I mean, here they sit. The Red Sea's in front of them, and behind them is this great army of Egypt. No doubt these were warriors. And the children of Israel, they were just slaves. They've been making bricks. What a horrific sight that must have been. The fear that must have gripped their hearts when that happened. And remember that Moses spoke to them as Pharaoh led that great army. Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and he said this. He said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show unto you this day." You're gonna see this. You're gonna live to see this salvation. Huh? And he said, this army that you fear so great, he said, you'll see them again. You're never gonna see them again. Forever. No more again. Forever. Don't look back. Don't look back. Again, what a sight that had to be. What a mighty and great deliverance that was. And they weren't walking through with mud on their feet either. It was just the sea was parted, and they walked through like just on dry land. A wall of water on each side. And as they passed through, they went to the other side, and those waters just collapsed on the Egyptians. The enemy vanquished. The enemy destroyed. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ did for our sins? Huh? That great enemy that we could never defeat. The Lord has put it away. Put it away forever. What a sight that must have been. And no doubt, They often remembered that. They remembered that day with a thankful heart. But listen, not in comparison to that which was coming. That great deliverer that would come. What the Egyptians put away. Our sin put away. Truly a sight those things must have been. God sent the plagues. Remember all those plagues that he sent to Egypt upon the Egyptians? And each time he delivered the children of Israel. When there was darkness throughout the land of Egypt, there in Goshen, there was light. God's always given light to his people. But listen, something greater. Rather, someone greater was coming. Remember ye not. Remember ye not the former things. Israel had a tendency to look back. And, I can't help but think this. Don't we do the same? Don't we do the same? How often did the children of Israel murmur at Moses and say things like this? Why didn't you just leave us alone? We'd been better off serving the Egyptians. Why'd you bring us all the way out here in the wilderness? We'd been better off to die and be buried in Egypt. How often did they do that? It'd been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. Don't we do the same? We read about that. How could they do that? How could they, after all they had seen, how could they do that? But my friends, don't we do the same thing? Aren't we prone to the same sin, to the same thing? A tendency to look back. But yet here in our text, remember ye not the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Back there in Genesis 19, when the Lord was going to destroy Sodom, that angel spoke to Lot and said, he said, take your wife and take your two daughters. And he said, escape for your life. And he gave them this instruction. He said, look not behind you. Look not behind you. Neither stay in the plain, but escape to the mountain. Lest thou be consumed with everyone there. Don't look back. Don't look back. Listen, Sodom. What is in Sodom that you want? Why would you look back there? Turn back there to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Look at verse 17. Let's just read this for yourself. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And then down in verse 26, what do we see there? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember not the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Don't look back to something that the Lord was pleased to bring you out of. Don't look back. Neither stay in the plain. The scripture says this. What have we been delivered? We've been delivered from this world. Scriptures say this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Let me ask you, would you go back to Egypt? Would you go back to Egypt? Would you go back to Sodom? Back to the law? back to sin, back to bondage. In John chapter 6, turn there with me to John, the book of John. John chapter 6. Verse 66. Our Lord speaking to his disciples. He spoke. Look, beginning in verse 65. He said, "Therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. No man can come to Christ unless he's drawn to him." That's plain, isn't it? That's plain in Scripture. Not everybody agrees with that, though, do they? Some men get a little bent out of shape about that. That Almighty God's sovereign. That Almighty God calls that He has an elect. That He calls to Himself. And it says here that when some of those men heard that, it said, from that time, many of His disciples went back. And they walked no more with Him. Listen, they went back to whatever they were doing before. And obviously they were not His true disciples. Huh? Listen, for had they been His true disciples, they would have continued with Him. But it says they went back. And that word, that can literally mean this. It's they returned to the things that were behind. Look that up and you can go. They returned to the things that were behind. To the things of this world. Huh? Probably to their old companions. To Satan and their own heart. Had a dog vomit one time in his crate. And I thought, boy, that's going to be a mess to clean up. What'd that dog do? Right back to his vomit. That's us by nature. A dog returning to a vomit. Like a pig going out there in the mud and water. You can spend all day cleaning up a pig, but what's he going to do? He's going to go right back to that slop. He's going to be muddy just like you found him. Huh? And that's us by nature. That's each and every one of us by nature. Returning to their old companions, to Satan, to their heart, to the works of the law, to those scribes and Pharisees who had all the answers, right? Of what they needed to do. Of their subjection. All those things. Listen, being ignorant of God's righteousness. What does the script? A man that tries to establish his own righteousness by the works and deeds of the law, by his dying and doing, what do the scriptures say? That man's ignorant of God's righteousness. God's full and free righteousness by his grace. Listen, remember not the former things. Our Lord asked his disciples after this happened, his true disciples, he said, will you go away? Will you return? Will you go back? What did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no other refuge. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, those things that are behind us. And he said, reaching forth unto the things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, our Lord said this. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow, that looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Turn back with me to our text, Isaiah 43. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Deliverance through the Red Sea. What happened there? Pharaoh and his army destroyed. Again, certainly worthy to be remembered with praise and a thankful heart. But again, not in comparison to that one which was coming. Huh? not in comparison to what would be done. That one who was coming. Eternal redemption. Not a temporary deliverance from the things of this world, but eternal redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation, the full and complete salvation of His people. Look at verse 19 here of Isaiah 43. He says, "For behold, I do a new thing." A new thing. "Behold, I do a wonderful thing." A wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, His name. What is one? His name is Wonderful. "Behold, I do a new thing." A wonderful thing. An unheard of thing. Huh? Listen. Healing the sick. The cleansing of lepers. Raising the dead. The casting out of devils. In Jeremiah 23. Turn over there with me. Jeremiah 23. Just turn over a few pages. Beginning with verse 7 of Jeremiah 23. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the countries whither I had driven them, they shall dwell in their own land," promised land. That land which was promised. A new thing, this new thing, this wonderful thing. Can it be? Listen, can that point to anything other than our Redeemer? A new thing, a wonderful thing. God, listen. God manifest in the flesh. That God would take on flesh and become a man. Look down in verse 25 of our text. It says, I am He that blotteth out my transgression, blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 45:22, just a few pages over, from our text here, we read, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there is none else." Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. Listen, He's the eternal God. And yet we read here in our text, He's referred to as a new thing. How can that be? How can that be? In Isaiah 9:6, we read this. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." A child, again, God made in human flesh, made Himself to be a man. He came here robed in flesh as an infant, as a child that had never been seen on this earth before. He said this, a body hast thou prepared me. He was made a man. And in that body, can we even wrap our minds around that? That little infant that Simeon held there in the temple dwells Almighty God, huh? In a new body, just like when we have children, that's a new body that's never been seen before. That son which was given, He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. made sin for us, made sin for His people. Why? But to deliver His people from the curse of the law. Now listen, by his obedience, by His righteousness, by His holiness, delivered us from the curse of the law. And here's the amazing thing. We're made accepted in Him. Huh? That has to be revealed, doesn't it? Huh? That has to be revealed. Listen, He paid the sin debt for His people. He put away our sin. He put away our guilt. He washed us white as snow. He's buried. He's risen. He's ascended on high, seated at the right hand of Almighty God, where He ever lives, to make intercession for His people. For us. This new thing that we read about here, it says it shall spring forth. It shall bud forth as a branch. Me and Brady took a walk this morning, and we saw these vines, and right now they're dormant, right? They look dead. But you know, when the spring comes, that new bud will shoot forth. Huh? You ever watch like the bud of a flower, and it just closed. And you watch, and then one morning you walk out, and it's just open. The Lord Jesus Christ, He shall spring forth. He shall come forth. It shall bud forth as a branch, suddenly, at once. Just like that branch grows out of a tree. In the book of Zechariah, twice he's referred to as my servant, the branch. The branch. He took upon himself the role of a servant. That servant that would justify his people. And we look to him. Huh? He's referred to as the branch of righteousness. Huh? That branch which brought everlasting righteousness to his people. As our substitute, as our representative. And listen, by him, get a hold of this. Try to get a hold of this. By him, we're made the very righteousness of God in him. So perfect and complete in him. Listen, we bear his name. We bear his name. The Lord, our righteousness. When I married my wife, Abby, she took my name. Nobody refers to her as Abby Simpson anymore. She's Abby Floyd. Huh? She bears the name of me, of her husband. That pales in comparison to our new name. Huh? His church. Boy, there's a lot of things we could be called, isn't there? She shall be called. Not she might be called. She should be called. She could be called. She shall be called. The Lord, our righteousness. Now back to our text here. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. This new thing. Huh? A new thing, a wonderful thing, a complete thing, an eternal thing. Huh? It shall spring forth. Huh? That righteous branch, it shall spring forth. And he says here, shall you not know it? His people know it, don't they? Huh? His people will know it. He said this, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Huh? Listen, what else to say? Away in the wilderness. In that barren land, that thirsty land, that unfruitful land, there is a way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of salvation. a river. Who'd ever heard of a river in the desert? What'd he say? He told that woman. He said, that woman at the well. He said, whosoever drinketh of this water, never going to thirst again. It shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life. Water's precious. It seems to me like out this way, water's pretty precious, isn't it? My friends, there's nothing more precious than this living water. The Lord Jesus Christ. A new thing which can, listen, it can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the effect? What's the effect of this new thing? Listen, it produces a new creature. A new creation. Old things are passed away. In the scriptures, we read of a new and living way. A new name. We just talked about that, didn't we? The bride bears her husband's name. We bear his name. The Lord, our righteousness. And listen, what else is... We sing a new song. It's what the scriptures declare. Our Lord said this, "Behold, I make all things new. Oh, remember not the former things." Don't look back. "Behold, I do a new thing." And we look to Him. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there's none else." Spurgeon said, I believe that was the scripture, he said that the Lord revealed the gospel to him. He was walking to the service one night. Snowstorm come up. He ended up being in some place that he hadn't planned on being. And he heard this under the gripping weight of sin. He heard that scripture. Look unto me. Back there in Numbers 21, you're probably familiar with this passage, but God had hearkened to the voice of Israel. He had delivered the Canaanites and the children of Israel, and they were journeying from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, and on that journey they became discouraged as often as we do. I don't know about you all. I can say that of myself. I do get discouraged. And they were discouraged. And they were discouraged, it says, because of the way. You know what's amazing if you think about that? That way that they were going, that's the path that Almighty God had given them to go. And whatever direction He's pleased to lead His people, that's the direction He's given. And yet it says they became discouraged because of the way. And what did they do? What do we always do? Well, we complain. They spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. And they said, "Why didn't you just let us die there in Egypt? Weren't the graves there good enough for us? Why'd you bring us out here?" And God sent those fiery serpents. And they bit the people. And many people died. Judgment. God sent forth judgment for sin. Why would He be merciful to any? But yet He's pleased to be merciful to some. And the people, they came to Moses and they said this. They said, "We've sinned. We've sinned." And they said, "Won't you intercede? Won't you intercede on our behalf?" And the Lord told Moses, He said, "Take that serpent." He said, "Make a serpent of brass, and you put it up on a pole. And it came to pass that everyone that was bitten, when he looked upon the serpent," what happened, Andre? He lived, didn't he? Life. Life. Could it be that simple? To just look? Here's the command. It hadn't changed. Look and live. I think Henry said this one time. He said man needs to quit lying and trying and crying and buying, going about every way possible, and just do this. Just look. Just look. You reckon there were men and women back there that refused to look? I suspect there were. Refused to look. Huh? Those who would not submit to the command. I'm not looking. You'll do so to your condemnation. Huh? Those who would not submit to the command. Maybe there were some who said, you know what? There's got to be a better way than this. Huh? There's got to be a better way to this. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll run over to Mike's house. He's got some things, and we'll just make up our own serpent. Instead of one of brass, we'll make one of wood, and we'll just look to it. Ignorant of God's righteousness. That's what the scriptures say of man, right? Ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. Those who would not submit to the righteousness of God. It's no different all the way back there in that time than it is today. Listen, those who would not look because of unbelief. Well, I just can't believe. I just can't believe that God would save a man because he looked. Those too proud to, I'm not looking. Too proud to look. Too proud. Those who refused to believe that they were dying. Huh? I'm feeling a little faint here, but I'm sure I'll be fine. What's the command? Look. Look and live. Our Lord told a group of people this. He said, you won't come to me that you might have life. Let me ask you this. All the way back there in the Old Testament, the command was look and live. What happened to those people that looked? Huh? What happened? Let me read it to you. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. Life. Oh, my friends, don't look back. Huh? Don't look at those. Oh, there's so many things behind us, aren't there? Don't look back. Don't look back. Look to Christ. Look to God's salvation. In closing, let me just read this. Don Fortner wrote an article. I don't know how long ago he wrote it, but our pastor put it in our bulletin here a few months back. You've read this. I just thought it went with the message this morning. It says this, throughout the Bible, Don wrote this, throughout the Bible, the act of faith by which we receive eternal life is referred to as a look. Like the children of Israel, bitten by the fiery serpent, they look to the brazen serpent for life. And in the same manner, we must look to Christ. Huh? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ crucified for eternal life. And he gave these 3 points. I'll give them to you quickly. Salvation begins with a look. It begins with a look. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there's none else. Look away from ourselves. Look away from anything and everything, and look to Christ. Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Listen, resting in nothing but Him. Number two, salvation is maintained by look. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Listen, you don't sit down. It's different in our day, but listen, you don't sit down till the work's finished. And our Lord sat down, the work complete. And then third, salvation will end in a look. Huh? Revelation 22:4 says this, they shall see his face. Oh, looking unto him. If you hope to see his face to glory, look to him. Look to him now. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not behind us, not looking back, but looking to him. Paul writing to Philip, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward, reaching for those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray He'd give us eyes to see Him, faith to rest in Him, and cause us always to be found looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. May God bless His word.